Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening, and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Turning Heel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast. The Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast. Or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, I really recommend checking out the Botcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. Hey, Chris, we made it!
Where did we make it to?
Season 13!
Uh-oh, unlucky for some.
And this season we are covering Techno Games 2001! I'm Alan!
I am Chris.
And today we're covering Day 1! So,
well.
This is our second go at Techno Games. The first time we did Techno Games, there was so little happening, we literally recorded it in a night.
Yes, which we thought was going to take a hell of a lot less time than it did.
Yeah, at the same time, I listened back to the Techno Games episodes we did.
Oh dear.
The last episode I had definitely, because I remember this, I fell asleep. And yet I was still more engaged in Ulrika Johnson.
So you fell asleep and I was probably so drunk at that point that I still don't remember the recording that episode.
Hashtag professionalism.
Oh yeah, that's all my podcasts, is nothing but the highest quality.
So... Oh, I've just remembered Robonerds next week and I'm a house sitting. Oh. Aquos.
There's always next year.
There's always next year, though apparently Deer Tour's there this year, so.
Yeah, so I heard.
Yeah. So, Techno Games. Just wow. In terms of. Because we did, I did wonder, based on the last season, whether we would have to do like two episodes in an episode.
Uh-huh.
And nope, absolutely no need here.
No.
So we've got 10 episodes, so it was 2 weeks, 44 minutes each episode.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is on the BBC as well, mind, so there's no breaks or anything like that.
Absolutely.
It's 45 minutes of solid Robot Olympic action.
And the biggest change to the presenting team is Jane Middlemas has taken over as the main presenter.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, does that make a difference?
Oh, yeah.
She actually seems engaged and interested and curious.
And actually knows the judges from Robot Wars.
Yeah. So, we see quite a few previews of what's coming up in the next few episodes. I do like the fact that Skeletron has already become, like, an icon figure in it.
Yeah, he's... In the days where they're going to erect a statue to... sort of remember Techno Games, it will be of Skeletron.
Well, you could just put Skeletron there, I suppose.
Well, I suppose, but you know, Skeletron still does the lips these days.
Yep. Yeah, he's still doing the lips.
No doubt he'll probably be at RoboNerd.
Probably. So, joining Jen Milmus for the majority of the show is Professor Noel Sharkey and Professor Martin Smith, as well as Dr. Myra Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Which
was really weird because, like, I didn't remember her being on this. And so, like, hearing her speak, and it was just kind of jarring. It was like, I just thought you were just a voiceless woman that just appeared on Robot Wars for like a couple of seasons and then disappeared.
I mean, it was the early 2000s, so yes, I could believe that they would do that. we'll get back to her at some point, but for this episode, it's purely Professor Sharkey and Professor Smith, and...
And you have your reporter from Japan.
Reporter from Japan, Julia Reed.
Yeah, we're getting all the big names in.
Yep. So, the show already at this point, it just feels more alive and energetic. And much like with Robot Wars, you can see that they've learned the lessons from the first series.
Yeah, the progression of everything is... Well, just kind of look at it from the way that they have a swimming pool on site this season instead of just going to a random swimming pool to do the swimming event.
Yeah. And our first event is the battery-powered sprint.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably the best way to start things off.
So it's a 15-meter race. I do also love that one thing they do as well is they actually do it as though it's like a live Olympics event. Here's the highlights of the previous heat, and we're going to go to the next heat live.
Yeah, I know, because I was wondering, like, I wonder if this was actually live when it aired, like, these segments, but I highly, highly doubt it.
I think it was recorded as live.
Yeah, so live to tape.
Yeah, but the fact that, for instance, they showed highlights from later in the week at the end of the show. But other than that, I mean, it does seem believable that this could be live.
Yeah, because it was on at the same time every day, and it was probably about, 6 o'clock maybe, so it wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility.
It was kind of like... a Today at the Olympics type show as well, the way it's formatted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll start with the first heat.
Yes, so...
Ed Hall is back and is introducing the first four competitors.
Mm. Tet 2.
Which is named after a dog, has its hair on it, and is slightly creepy.
A little bit. Then they ask where Tet 1 is, and they show a picture of a dog. It's like, and then Ed goes, "Oh, with absolutely no hair on it." In lane 2, we have Cheeky Boy 1,
which would be fantastic and absolutely world-beating if it wasn't for one thing, which we'll get to. But it's actually. What you kind of commonly see now in a lot of the lighter walking robots, which is instead of having like legs in the traditional sense, it's essentially got legs on a crankshaft.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it should be really choppy in the way it moves. When you actually see it run, it is so smooth. It is beautiful to look at, and that was 20 years ago.
I know, it's this. It's very nerdy, like when we talk about how just how pretty and majestic and fluent Cheeky Boy looks when he runs, but it's just so aesthetically appeasing.
It's oddly, it's something that you could put on Oddly Satisfying on Reddit.
Yes.
And next up is
number 3,
the Kerminator.
The Kerminator.
which is a six-legged robot. It's huge. It's high up on the ground. And it's got a tinfoil hat with a Kermit on it.
Yeah, because like it starts off with the camera just focusing in on Kermit and its little vehicle that it's in, and then it pulls back to reveal these ginormous legs. I was like, what the fuck is that?
And we'll talk about it later. And the final contestant is from a team that has entered Technogames before. It's the same team who made Calypso, and it is Salsa.
Yes. Going with the same colour scheme.
Which is, so it's a wedge bot with two legs, and essentially what it does is it does, if you can imagine someone with a pair of crutches.
But sitting down.
Yeah. And it's okay. It's probably, considering how simple the design is, it's actually probably the most impressive of the three runners up. Well, it does actually finish, which Salsa,
yeah, it has a finishing time.
Kermitator just sits and looks like Kermit's having a very fun time with his tinfoil hat.
Yes, don't when the robots are rocking, don't come a knocking.
Tattoo is kind of limping along, looking like a creepy spider dog.
Yeah, the way that the legs bend on Tattoo is very weird.
And meanwhile, Cheeky Boy is just kind of dancing away with it. And sets a new world record.
I don't know why, but for some reason when Cheeky Boy 1 goes off for his walk, I just hear singing in the rain.
Yes! So,
yeah, 24.42 seconds. A new record!
A new world record, because the previous record was like 2 minutes something, I think.
I think somewhere around 3:40, maybe. It was just under 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, Waddle.
Heck, you've got to be in it to win it.
Yep. And then we cut back to Jane and Martin Smith, and Martin Smith starts talking about which robots he found attractive.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, whatever you're into there, bro.
And we get on to the second heat.
Oh, yes. The poor sods that had to get stuck in this heat.
Yeah, because it's from the second it starts, it's like, oh, this is the one with Scuttle in it.
Yep. Yeah, so we had Creepy Crawler, which reckons about 7 minutes to get to the end.
I think that's ambitious, considering how it moves.
Yeah. We had Scuttle that reckons 4 seconds.
With significant changes made to its design.
Yeah. In lane three, we had Feral Dynamics, which reckons it will get there in half an hour.
Six legs, tiny pharaoh's head. It's weird looking.
And Grinsect, made of a well-known construction material.
Lego. It's Lego.
Yes.
It is tiny.
Yeah, it's just that it's very WWE the way that they say it. It's like well-known construction material.
So.
But yeah, like Grinsect keeps doing a little backflip when it walks, which just amuses me highly.
Yeah. So let's talk about the other teams first.
Yes, let's.
Creepy Crawler very slowly crawls along the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Feral Dynamics keeps on going two steps and falling over.
Mm-hmm.
Grinsect keeps falling over and then one of its legs falls off and it just kind of writhes on the ground.
Help me! Help me!
And meanwhile, 5.4 seconds into the race, and before anyone else has moved, Scuttle finishes.
Yep. Then it continues to go up and down and up and down, and literally the commentator says, "Oh, it's won it for everybody," and it's like, it literally has. It's done like four laps.
And yeah, it turns out afterwards. Now, we forgot to mention, whilst this is happening, Jane is interviewing people as live. It's brilliant.
Yeah, she's kind of interviewing them through Ed. Like, she would
Yeah.
ask Ed a question, then Ed would ask it to the contestants, and then it would kind of relay back. Like, they would say their answer, and she would see it without Ed having to repeat it. But
Yeah. So.
becomes quite funny in a later sprint heat when she brings up that one of the runners doesn't look like what it was based off of, but we'll get to that when we come to it.
Absolutely. So,
So Scuttle
Scuttle has the new
breaks.
world record,
It's a new record.
and it was holding back,
Yes, it was.
which is scary. It's like, no, we were scared it was going to fall apart. We didn't even. We can turn it up more,
Yeah, I think I said twice as fast.
which is one of those moments you just said, if you're the other team, you're like, but what?
It's like, way to make your opponents in Heat 2 even more insignificant. It's like, ha, we beat you in 5.4 seconds. I know, what an absolute slaughter. We could have done it faster. Aww.
Absolutely. At least we tried our best. Well, we weren't. What? So, yeah. That's one thing I do love as well, is the fact that we have already, both in this, the swimming and the shot put, they're already talking about, oh no, we've got more entrants.
Yeah.
And it's actually nice to have lots of different classes where there's a large number of entries.
Yeah, I suppose we should probably mention the fact that this is the battery operated sprint, which is obviously going to be different from the internal combustion sprint that we'll see later on,
Yep.
which obviously means petrol.
But before that, we have the cyber cycling.
Yes. There was only two entrants, so by proxy this makes it the final.
I don't know if this is the final, if there's going to be others later in the series.
Now, they definitely said there was only two entrants. That's why they kept saying it was an exhibition, but I prefer to call it the final because, well, there's only two of them.
So, it's a cycling race under the traditional rules. So, both teams start half a lap apart from each other. Winner is either first to overtake their opponent, or well, I suppose what they actually were wanting was basically
A lap.
a lap, and it would be like there would be a few seconds between them. So we have two entries,
Yes, we have whiz bang.
which is built in 2 weeks and has Evel Knievel on the top of it.
And his opponent is Curves.
Which is a child's bike with a load of battery packs on it. Now, when you look at it at first, you go, oh, whiz bang looks much better. And then the race starts.
I mean, yeah, probably like in theory, Whizbang probably is the much better robot because it's what they say afterwards, which is the problem. Just before we start, there was this funny like kind of back and forth between Ed and the Curves team where he's like, "Okay, this just looks like a kid's bike with batteries strapped on it," and the team goes, "Well, yeah, that's exactly what it is. We went and bought a kid's bike and strapped batteries on it."
And
And
then
then
put a motor, yeah.
Ed says, "So what's the worst thing that could happen?" And then they were like, "It could fall over and all the batteries fall out, and that'd be really embarrassing."
Absolutely.
And now that's all I wanted to see was it topple over. The batteries just scatter all over the arena, and you just see the two of them running around trying to pick them up.
Absolutely.
Yes, to get into the actual race.
I mean, whiz bang is very fast until it needs to turn.
Because it drops this little thing almost like it's an indicator, and then just continues to go forward.
Yes.
And then just disappears.
Yeah,
like, literally into the darkness.
They managed to make it back on track just for it to be overtaken by Curves.
Yep.
And, yeah, Curves takes a very controlled win. And Whizbang hits every single surface it can get to before finishing.
Even to the point where, like, Whizbang had to be held up by one of its team members. And it just got to the point where the team member was literally running behind the robot trying to grab it before it drove into, like, its third wall.
Yeah.
Which made it look even clumsier. So 42.43 seconds was Curve's majestic run around the course.
Yep.
And then they reveal afterwards that Whizbang's steering motor broke, so that's why it only went forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It just seems to be, of all the times for it to break, that is the worst.
Yeah, but that's kind of what I was saying at the beginning of this. Of Whizbang probably is the better robot when it was, if it worked properly, like it would have very easily taken over Curves.
Yeah.
And won this thing, but you know, luck was on Curves' side.
Would it that it were so simple?
Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is TechnoX with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today. So, that was the cycling, and, well, now we're off to Japan.
Ah, you know, the one place I want to go.
Same. It's actually somewhere I'd love to go.
I mean, for very many different reasons.
Absolutely. The food.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the sushi, the sake, the hot Japanese babes, professional wrestling, and robots.
So, I remember watching this and going, yeah, some of this stuff doesn't seem that advanced now, but then you remember it's 20 years ago.
Yeah, there is one that I had to do that for where it was like, that doesn't seem that advanced. And then it was like, wait a minute, remember this was 2001 and how we didn't even have a computer in the house in 2001?
So, yeah, no, we were it was about 2001 we got a computer. It was awesome.
Yeah, AOL with that 72-hour trial.
Oof. So, we meet Wamiba, which is a robot that goes around, basically seeks out humans and asks them for charging.
Yeah, she says, Julia says that the robot is actually alive, and the first thing I thought is like, Johnny Five is alive!
And
Input.
They talk to the man who designed Wamiba, and his accent is very strong. So strong they actually have to put subtitles on.
Yeah, but also every time a new subtitle pops up, they have this like stupid sound effect. So it's because he is speaking in English, but because his accent's so strong.
Yeah.
So it's like every time that the subtitle changes, it's like, and
yeah,
it's just making a racket over him. It's like, I'm trying to listen. Shut up.
Absolutely. And we then get to talk to the Skeletron team, where it appears that only the adults went to NASA.
Well, yeah. They were the ones that built the fucking robot. The kid's just there to be a kid.
Yeah, but I'm sure the kid would love to go to.
I don't know. I feel like the kid would love it for like 10 minutes and then be bored.
Yeah, I suppose. So, yeah, that is... So we have two events left in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
So the first is the shot put.
Yes. Arguably one of my favourite events.
Absolutely. Though technically speaking, it's not a shot put. It's more a throwing a metal ball.
Throwing a shot put.
Yes.
Yeah. Because Ed Hall demonstrates his shot put skills and actually breaks the robot world record.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we get the first round, and we have
quite interesting the way that they done this. So they done the introduction of a robot, then its first attempt, then introduction of the second robot, and then their first attempt, then introduction of the third. And then for their second attempt, they all just went bang, bang, bang.
Yep.
So it's a nice kind of way to format
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Again, it's stuff like this, you go, oh, they've actually had time to think this through now.
Yeah, they were just flying by the seat of their pants in the first season.
So the first robot is a returning Robot Wars team.
Yes.
So the Twigworth Breaker, which is made by the Gribble family, a.k.a. the Pussycat team.
Or Team Cold Fusion, I think they said at one point.
So the way they've done this is it's an arm that is powered by a spinning brake disc.
Yeah.
And then
I don't know why, but for some reason, this robot has just been stuck. Like, the name of it has just been stuck in my head for years. And I think it's the way that the first person says its name when Ed Hall's like, so what is the name this robot? And then the guy says the name of the robot with just such, like, love and enthusiasm. Just like, its name is the Twigworth Breaker.
Yep.
And just for years in my head, like that the name of that robot just pops into my head with the way he says it.
Absolutely.
For, what, 20 years.
20 years.
So, wow. So when that played again, I was just like, Twigworth Breaker.
So, they have one slight problem with their training, which is they practiced with a woman's shot put.
Oh, no.
And instead, they're using a man's.
Manly. So they load it up. It goes. They step on the brake.
Oh, it's brilliant drama.
Yeah. They step on the brake. The ball flies out. 2.62 meters.
Yeah. It's wonderfully dramatic.
I know, all of this filmed up, and it just kind of goes...
The next robot is Mighty Midget. Which is a gas-powered robot using a more human arm-style movement.
Yes.
Which seems like it shouldn't really work. but does?
Yeah. I mean, it works, but how well is really the question?
It's not really that dramatic. It's not really that interesting. And it only gets 4 meters.
Less than 3.85.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also the name. Probably somebody will be offended by that these days.
Not quite. I think it's... Yeah. Anyway, the last robot is called Armstrong. And this looks like the inferior would be a great idea. So it is a horizontal spinner.
Yes. It does sound dangerous when they describe it.
So it's... So it throws, as I said, it throws through effectively a spinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole robot needs to be clamped down onto the podium.
Yeah.
Because of how violently it shakes.
Absolutely.
So its deal is it spins around and it holds the ball with, you know, a mechanism, like a kind of like little sack thing. Mm-hmm. And then it's supposed to detach the sack and then the ball flies out. And both times it does fly out, but they miss time and hit the cage.
Yeah, we're just going to skip through to their second one. Yeah, the same thing happens for both.
Yeah.
It kind of goes... And it's a shame, because I'm sure... See if it actually... Now, one slight disadvantage, because they're throwing it effectively sideways...
Mm-hmm.
I am fairly sure what would end up happening is it could end up flying and missing the sand.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, it doesn't seem to be that in control.
Which is the worrying thing about it, is how far would it actually go? Because as you say, with the way that it's horizontal, if they nailed that perfectly in the middle, that would just keep going until it would hit like an actual wall, and then it would probably cause problems for the production.
Yeah. But it's irrelevant.
Yes.
However,
we get the second runs of every other robot with.
So Mighty Midgets is exactly the same as the previous one. Undramatic, they get slightly further this time, 4 meters exactly.
But Twigworth.
Oh, this is spectacular! Awful, but spectacular.
It's just. Like, watching the reaction in slow motion when it happens is brilliant. So, they stand on the brake, and for some reason, the robot throws the ball upwards instead of forwards.
And then they catch it, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, but you see the part where, like, I think it was Alan Gribble, the older gentleman, he throws his arms out like, "Oh, fuck!" And then, like, he puts them on his head for a second, and then was like, "Fuck, catch it," and then catches it. But all of that in like half a second. So he throws it out, throws his arms out on head, throws his arms out to catch, catches it, and then grabs and hugs the ball because it was gotta land on top of the robot and probably wreck the thing.
I mean, yeah, it's a whole thing.
But one more quick thing about Armstrong that I have in my notes is... after their second attempt, the main older gentleman there was like, "I reckon we could do it if we could have another go. We just need one more go." And then Ed Hall's like, "No, we can't do that." And then one of the girls is clearly holding back tears. So what do they do on robot-related shows when kids are about to cry? Shove a camera right in their face.
Yeah.
Cry for me, child. Go on.
Give us the tears, child.
Wouldn't be surprised if you just seen like a finger coming from off screen and like poking her in the belly just to like, "Come on, come on."
Yep, absolutely.
Cry for the camera. Yeah, and then Ed Hall trying to interview them, and they're both just standing there and just like,
absolutely. So, we have one event left in today's episode. And it is the artificial rope climb.
Yes, so they have split this one into two different...
they've made it so that there's a class Skeletron can win.
Yeah.
Let's be perfectly honest.
It was completely unfair, like, in the last season, though, with Skeletron being built to be the way that he is. Yeah. And then Simeon just being, I'm just wheels, whoop, up I go. So,
the two categories are naturalistic, which is like an animal would move.
Yeah, body movements.
And artificial, which is pretty much all two-wheel grippers.
Mm.
So it looks like essentially what's happening is there's a ring moving up the rope.
Yeah. Obviously, that's what we have here. We have High Climber, which is a very, like, nice-looking, you know, rope-climbing robot. And then you've got The Great Escape,
which is apparently made from a Techno Games robot kit.
Yes, and what does that... You know, when you're a grizz there with adult money, what do you do when you hear about a Techno Games robot building kit?
No.
You go and look on eBay. And yes, there is one there. And yes, I'm considering it.
Okay. Fine.
That's how this whole thing started. This whole podcast is the whole reason that why I am the way I am.
Yeah, sorry about that.
As I look over at my display cabinet with Matilda, Biohazard, Growler, Sir Kill-A-Lot, and Tombstone in it. But the big ones.
Absolutely.
So High Climber climbs rope in 1.91 seconds.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, now one thing I noticed, they had the Robot Wars crowd dub on, like the exact dub.
I know, because there was nobody else there.
And yeah, at first you're like, oh wow, High Climber's finished before Great Escape's even moved. And then it becomes clear that's because Great Escape isn't going to move.
Yeah. You can see that the motor's just like... And the robot's all like tensing up as if it's trying to move. But just the one bit that they're wanting to move is just not doing it.
And I love how they're deliberately trying to go, oh no, it wasn't the kit, wasn't the kit, wasn't the kit.
Yeah, that's specifically what Martin Smith said was, like High Climber, they built theirs out of, like, do-do-do and blah-de-blah, and Great Escape, they built theirs out of the kit. I mean, it wasn't the kit's fault, obviously.
Except it was quite obviously was, because it didn't have a strong enough engine, and it didn't grip the wheels enough, so... But anyway, don't let facts get in the way of selling your merch.
A good robot.
So, that is the first episode.
Oh, and a new record!
Yes, a new world record. 1.9 seconds.
Amazing. Well done, High Climber.
I mean, I couldn't do it in 1.9 seconds. There was nothing I could do in 1.9 seconds. I couldn't even say 1.9 seconds in 1.9 seconds.
Yeah, I don't think I could even say the name of High Climber in 1.91 seconds.
Yep. So, we'll be continuing on for the next 10 weeks. We'll be doing this. As I said, it's clear that this is going to take the full 10 weeks.
But, yes.
Yes. Okay, well, we'll be back next week where, amongst other things, we have the first round of the swimming.
I can't wait.
And the high jump.
Ooh, that's awesome, man.